And I'm very pleased that God had his way, and he'll have his way in the rest of the service. Elaine, I want you to come up. You have something you want to share. We haven't heard from Elaine for a while, and so it's good to have her here again this morning.
Good morning, church. You know, we've been coming on Sunday nights, Jim and I, to pray for our families. And you know, Jim walks around and I kind of sit near the back. And what we do when we come is we've got these three whiteboards and we write the lists of our unsaved family. For Jim and I, it's more of our family members because our kids know the Lord. But people here are writing down their children's names. And now we've got like two boards worth of names, whiteboard. And then there's another board here that says, you know, praise reports. So, you know, you come here and you sit and you pray and you just, you know, you get into that habit of coming and praying and seeking God for, you know, every Sunday night. And then out of the blue, a couple weeks ago, I'd been praying for my mom for, I think, 40 years it'll be now, and for her salvation. And out of the blue, Jim's mom phones up my mom and asks her to come to church with her. And my mom had always said no because of the stairs or this or that. But my mom went. Not only did she go through the whole service, but she actually went down the stairs afterwards and stayed till like 4 o'clock. And I was totally, totally Amen. Blown away. Totally. And you know, do you know how, you know, it's kind of like that little earthquake that happened this past week. Sometimes God, I don't think God did the earthquake thing, but what I'm saying is God, in his power, he blindsides us sometimes. He takes our breath away. His presence surprises us. And he comes out of the blue with something that we're not even expecting that's going to happen. And it happens. And I, you know what? I'm in shock over what happened with my mom. I am totally in shock. And I guess, in a way, I'm undone with it.
Amen.
Because it's like Isaiah when he stood before God and he said, I'm undone. Mm-hmm. Because he didn't expect that kind of power. He didn't expect what he saw. The human body could not even comprehend, right? Well, I'm just saying, when you come here expecting and don't be surprised when great things start happening in your life. Amen. You know, I'm just saying.
Thanks, hon. Thank you. Just a couple of things. I want you to know that I'm not here to build RPC. I'm here to build or help build the kingdom of God. Okay? So sometimes you'll come into the service and you go, oh, there's not very many people here. Or you'll come in and go, whoa, look, the place is full. That's not the focus. It really isn't. Sometimes there'll be lots of people here and sometimes there won't. But that's not why we come. We don't want to be the flagship of churches anywhere. We want to be a place where people come because they expect to meet with God. I don't want you to have to come to this church. I want you to want to come. And not because of me, because we got lots of good speakers, but because the Holy Spirit moves. And then when we talk about the church and the whole structure, then it talks about finances and all this kind of thing. It costs a lot to run this building. It costs a lot to maintain this building. It costs a lot to even plan about building new buildings. And those aren't important. We need to get them done, but the reality is that we only get them done because they're a tool that we can use to reach people. If it ever becomes an edifice for us, a place where we need to say, hey, look at the church we built. If God doesn't build a church, if he doesn't build a house, you don't want to be near that house. So we're going to let him build. We're going to let him do what he's going to do. But he's building his church because I believe that Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back to catch up his bride, and we want that bride to be so full. We want to touch people's lives. We want to bring people into a place where they understand the power and the love of God. And we'll spend eternity. Can you imagine that? This last year, we've been here just about a year. We'll be here on the 15th of this month, a whole year. We have seen a couple of our congregation that we got to know here one Sunday and gone to glory. And so we want God to minister to us. We want people to come and find him. And then one day, this building will be empty. That's it. This building will be empty because the church will be gone home. The bride will be caught up by the bridegroom. And that's the focus for my ministry here. I have a vision, honestly, that God gave me last year, actually last October, when he put it on our hearts to submit our name to Richmond to go through the process of becoming your pastor. I had a clear vision then. And he said to me, you and Elaine are going to Richmond. He didn't say that to you. He said it to us, and we just went through the whole process and believed that God was going to place us here. So we know that we're supposed to be here. Not that we're superstars. We're not. We're not superstars. But we are blessed to be leaders in this congregation. I'm probably pretty sure that you've done your regifting by now, because of the things you don't like, you probably got rid of them. you know the ones. We kind of looked at that last week. But this whole series is about regifting the power and the love and the vision and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so even this part of this is part of regifting, because God gives us the vision. And please understand that when I came in here, it was like, whoa, now we have a vision for RPC. No, somebody had a vision when it was just all farms here. Somebody had a vision almost 75 years ago that this would be a very powerful place to meet with God. And it started out in a little tiny building. And then went to another building, which is over here. We call it the multipurpose room. And then they built this sanctuary here. And those are just tools. Those things wear out. Those things are just something we use in the journey. But the vision was cast a long time ago, and it came from God. And so we're just kind of regifting all this vision. Because in Proverbs 29, and you're very familiar with this, it says, where there is no vision, no revelation of God and his word, the people are unrestrained. Actually, what it means there is the people become restless. In some translations, the King James, it says, the people perish. But unrestrained is probably a better translation, and restless is probably the best picture, because without a vision, people just kind of get, bored. It's kind of like, I don't know, I've never been on a cruise ship, but I stayed in a place where I could eat from the buffet in a hotel like every day if I wanted. And after a while, you know, you get kind of like, oh no, there's only three kinds of meat here to choose from tonight. Like, I don't really like apple pie, rhubarb pie. Why couldn't they have something after a while you get kind of bored, and everything starts to taste the same, right? Well, that can happen in the church. That can happen if there's no vision, if there's nothing. You got to expend. You got to have some purpose. You got to get up in the morning and say, God, what do you got planned for today? What are we going to do? What are you doing that I can come alongside to do with you? And I'll tell you, that's the adventure that I talked about. And then you're not unrestrained. Then you're not restless. Now you're on a journey that'll take all your abilities, all your energy, and you'll go forward with God, and you will see some awesome things, and you'll have a testimony about the goodness of God and how he supplies your needs and leads you to be used of his in his work. And it says, but happy and blessed is he who keeps the law of God. It's not that really that hard to keep the law of God. And we're not in Old Testament times, but the law of God is the law of love. It's the royal law. And what you do is you fall in love with Jesus. Listen, fall in love with Jesus and do whatever you want to do. Okay? It's pretty simple. Well, that's kind of like I can do anything I want. No, you can't. Because you would not want to hurt the one you love. I still have choices. Elaine and I have been married, we'll be 44 years this coming June. And we started out young, but there's things that I could do, but I don't do because I don't want to jeopardize my love for her. Do you know that? And so I can make choices every day. She can make choices every day to follow that. If I love her, I will do everything within my power to walk in a way that represents that love. And that's what God wants. So that's what I say. Just fall in love with Jesus and do whatever you want to do. Amen. And that's your guide. When I got saved, my pastor came and gave me a list of things I don't do anymore. Is that ever positive, eh? You don't smoke, you don't go to the theater, you don't drink, you don't do this, you don't do that, you don't do this. And it was a list. I wish I would have kept it. Like, Pentecostal pastor gave me a list. Of course, I had this attitude that said, want to bet? That's it. And I fought all the way through the list. Finally, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and says, you don't need any of that because you got me. You don't ever quit something with God. You get the desire taken away. So here's Moses' vision. Exodus 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came up to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of God, or the Lord, appeared to him in the flames of fire from within a bush. Now, I would say that you got a vision going here, all right, because the bush didn't burn up. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, but it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight. So would I. Why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he'd gone over to look at it, God called to Moses from within the bush, and he says, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Don't come any closer, he said. Take off your sandals, for the place you're standing is holy ground. Understand something, church. The place you're standing is holy ground. You know that chorus, we're standing on holy ground? Well, we are standing on holy ground because we have the holy God inside of us. We just sang about that. You have holiness inside of you, so everywhere you put your foot is holy. Think about that. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. When you get into that place of understanding who God is, you're kind of like, I don't feel that comfortable here because this is holy and I'm not. But understand one thing, that you are holy because of Christ inside of your life. And so you can connect with God and you can be loved by God just as we experienced here this morning already. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of the people, my people in Egypt, and I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of Israel, the Israelites, has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. Don't you love that? He'll mess your life up. Moses was quite content just looking after father-in-law's sheep, kind of the family business, would take it over maybe. After old Jethro died off. It's a pretty good life, just walking around tending sheep. He said, now go. I'm sending you. We're going to talk about the apostle next week and the gifts of the Spirit. I'm sending, that's what it is. Moses became an apostle to Pharaoh and to bring back my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Now, you got to remember that he wasn't really too popular back in Egypt. He just killed a guy and ran over, and that's where he's hiding out, actually, at Jethro's place. So he, like, no, I don't think I want to go back there. I don't want to especially go back there and talk to Pharaoh because, actually, I killed one of the guys that was on his army, in his army. So this is probably not, I'm not going to walk in there and go, hey, Pharaoh, how you doing? I haven't seen you for a long time. What's up? You're up, hanging on a pole. That's the way they did it in those days. So God says, I want you to go back there. I want you to go back and I want you to lead my imprisoned family out of Egypt. How can a sheep herder do that? Except for the power of God. And we know that story. And the power came and it came and it came and it came. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened and hardened and hardened. And finally it broke. I'll tell you, God will use you in the difficult places. I'm praying that for you. How's that? Aren't you excited? I'm praying. I was talking to Brent Cantillon. Remember when Brent was here with our missions? I was talking to him. He went into Pakistan. No, Bangladesh, sorry. And it was so dangerous that he had like 12 or 15 guards around him and would push him into the vehicle from place to place he went. They actually had to postpone because there was so many threats in that whole area of from terrorists that they had to wait a week to go. Would I rather go to YWAM in Hawaii? Oh, yeah. Like to be a teacher down there. That'd be cool. But there's just more to be done. Not that they're not doing a good job there. So we got Moses' vision. Let's talk about Paul's vision here. And Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia. Galatia. Having been kept by the Holy Spirit from the preaching of the word into the province of Asia. And when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of God would not allow them to. Sometimes you're not supposed to go somewhere. Ever been there? Like, I want to go. God says, no, I don't want you to go. So they passed through Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, God gave Paul a vision of a man in Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Imagine that in a vision. Have you had one of those? You know, when it's so very clear, God shows you something so very clear. And he says, come over here. I just love what happened on New Year's Eve here. We had a water baptismal service. And it was amazing. This Muslim gal who came to Christ. And she shared about the vision that God gave her about water baptism, that she would be baptized on December 31st. And she showed him the person who would do the baptism. And so when she came with her husband, who actually got baptized in this church about a year and a half ago, she came and she walked into the church and she saw Pastor Stephen. And she says to her husband, who is this person? And her husband said, it's Pastor Stephen. She said, that's who God showed me would do my water baptism. That's cool vision. Don't you think? Because Pastor Stephen does the water baptism. I haven't done a water baptism here. Well, maybe you don't trust me or what? I don't know. But don't you get excited about the power of God in visions to show us what he's going to do before he does it? Every church that I've ever been in, I always would get a fresh vision in the month of August so that I could continue on in that church. And when I didn't have the vision, I couldn't lead. I couldn't lead if I don't have a vision. And I was in Parksville, I was at a leadership summit by Bill, what's his name? Hybels. And in that, Bill gets up and he draws a straight line, one arrow going up and one arrow going down. This is the first day of the summit. And he says, if you have a call and a vision from God, then you are a leader. And if you don't have a vision and a call from God, you don't have a vision, then you're a hireling. Oh, I was a hireling because I didn't have, I told my board, I said, look, I don't have a vision. They said, well, just pray and fast. And I did all that kind of stuff. And then I said, well, I don't know what to do next. And they said, well, we'll send you away to get the education you need to get. And I just couldn't get it. I just couldn't get it because it wasn't coming from God. I was done there. Because I didn't have a vision, I couldn't lead. But when you have a vision, you can lead. You can lead. And I have a vision. I have a clear vision that I got 3 months before I came to this church. Absolutely clear for 10 years. Some of you think, wow, you're going to be pretty old, dude. So will you one day. I have it absolutely clear, and I see where we are in that plan that God has. I see that we're actually about 3 or 4 months ahead of where I thought we'd be at this time. And I'm excited about what's going to happen in our calendar year, not God's, but the way we kind of schedule things. I'm excited about what's going to happen in the next 6 months. I'm excited about what's going to happen when we stand here next year at this time and we talk about what God has done and what he's going to do. And I can't wait to see what he's done in the next 9 years. I believe it. I absolutely believe it. And how's it going to get done? I have no idea. How's it going to get paid for? That's beyond me as well. But that's not my stuff. That's God's stuff. We talked about missions here a while ago, about how getting excited about missions, and God has infused missions, finances for missions. We have brought in a decision from our board to double our missions giving. We're going to take on more missionaries. We're going to go to different places. That's what I believe that God is going to do with the rest of what he has planned for Richmond Pentecostal Church. So Paul says, I had a dream last night or a vision, and this guy was begging us to come over to Macedonia and help. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready to go at once to leave for Macedonia. That's the way to do it. Just get going. Get on the train. And you might go, like when I was in Russia, I got on the train, Fred Illion, the guy I was with, he said, Jim, you got to get on this train. And so he threw all my bags on there, and he goes, whoops, wrong train, and it's starting to leave. So the guys, and I don't speak any Russian, and the guy's throwing my bags off, and Fred says, jump. So it's not moving very fast, but I jump off because one train was facing this way and the other train was facing that way. I needed to go that way, and I was getting on this train. Not a real big thing. Except I don't know where I would have ended up. I was going to a place called Perm, and no, I was going to a place called Novosibirsk, and then catch a plane from there, which was like 29 hours on a Russian train, which is an experience in itself. And you just go. You just go and let God do it. I tell you 1,000 stories about what happened there, and most of them are true. No, they're all true. So after Paul got ready, he seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. We have a call on our lives in this church to preach the gospel to the world. That includes Richmond, British Columbia, Canada, the United States, every nation that's represented in this church today, and all the ones that aren't represented yet. That's what we have. We got a call to preach the gospel. So I think I broke it down here a little bit. Missional, the 10-year vision. God's direction and health for the body of believers at RPC. He's interested in you individually, as we saw this morning. He's interested in you individually. Physically, there's buildings and property. And personally, individuals and family. So missionally, we need to create and will continue to create an environment conducive to discipleship and growth. I think that's significant. We need to grow here. You can't survive off of my sermon. Not, you didn't have to say it that loud. But you can't. That's only one meal a week, and you know as well as I do that you don't eat one meal a week. You need to be able to involve yourself. You need to grow, and you need to develop, and you've heard all the sermons that condemn you because you're not doing it. I'm not condemning you. I'm inviting you. This is a good place to come together and celebrate and hopefully learn something, but we have other opportunities. Prayer is the key thing, and Elaine really hit it on the head there. Tonight and this for the next week, we're going to pray, and it's not going to be scheduled as much as you think it's going to be. I don't want it to be. I wanted the Holy Spirit to schedule it. So we're going to gather at 6 o'clock tonight here. If you want to pray, we'll have some kind of things that we'll pray for. We'll put them on the board this time. You can walk around. You can shout. You can scream. You can lay on the floor. You can walk. You can be quiet. Whatever you want to do, however you want to pray, I want you to come and pray. It's significant. It's important that we launch this year in prayer. And we'll do that for the rest of the week. From 9 o'clock in the morning, the sanctuary will be open. There'll be little stations in different places where you can go and you can just spend time. And it's kind of a monastic thing, and we don't do that. Pentecostals don't do that. But it's kind of a neat thing if you just want to go and just hang out. You just want to go and hang out with God. You don't have to come all day. You can pop in for a half an hour. You can pop in for 3 hours. And we'll just encourage you. In the evening prayers, we're going to pray for people. We're going to pray for people, lay hands on them. We'll pray for your families. We'll pray for your businesses. We'll pray for every part of your life. We'll just do this as the Holy Spirit leads us. We need to join together in celebration Sunday morning. There's a lot of things that happen in our church that don't always happen on Sunday morning. I mean, this last month was just absolutely crazy. We ate more meals here than we did at home. We celebrated more than we have for a long time. It was just one thing after the other. It was all different, but it all focused on Jesus. Small groups. We have small groups, and you can check on our website and check with the office about small groups that you'd want to get involved with. We have All Nations College Foundation, which is a Bible college that does discipleship. And then it goes actually up to a place where you can get credentials. You can get 10 credits that are transferable and to any Bible college. Actually, they're recognized by our Summit Bible College in Abbotsford. And you could go right on and get a bachelor's degree or a master's degree. And we have the plan and the vision to go for that right here. Isn't that awesome? You can develop that. It's a great program. How many are in this program right now? We have a few people in our church. One, I think there's, 2, 3, 4, some more. It's a great plan to disciple and to relearn. How many of you have been out of school for so long? I remember when I went back to school, it was like, of course, I got kicked out of school so much, I didn't really have a go back to place. So I didn't know how to be a student. But God taught me, and then I was able to go through a whole bunch of different areas and develop because I learned, and that's what All Nations College does. Then there's missions, and I talked a bit about missions, but we're going to be alive in missions. We're going to have missions emphasis. We're also going to and it's equipping the body for ministry. Our pastors and our leaders are here for one purpose, not to be served, but to serve you, to equip you. And we'll look at this next week. The whole purpose of us being here is to equip you to do the ministry. You're the ministers. We're your servants. And then to mobilize the body. Can't do it in here. Got to do it in your neighborhood. And I shared a little bit about where we live, where we work, where we go, where we've been, and where we want to go. And we're going to have that constantly reminding us of what the Great Commission is. So those are just kind of touching on a few things in that area. But personal, we need life balance. We need to have proper balance in our lives. So that means physically, we need to have healthy ways of looking and encouraging one another. We need to have personal health. So we need to encourage everybody to look after yourselves. Really, you need to exercise. You can finish the rest of your shortbread cookies and then you need to get on a proper... You know what I'm saying? We want to last as long as God wants us to last on this earth so that we can be effective for Him. And we need to think about our marriages. We need to invest in our marriages. Husbands and wives need to focus that is your first ministry. And then, of course, families. And that's why we have every Sunday night prayer for families. And I believe that God is doing some amazing work because families are important to Him. He's a good, good Father. And then buildings, property. In the last year, it's been really quite interesting. Pastor Randy is our worship leader, but he's also our administrator. And so he has accomplished quite a bit in as far as putting a new roof on. He didn't do it himself. He's amazing in this whole area of administration. And so what a blessing to our church. He's been here for like 5 years and we didn't see him in that capacity. That's what the gifts are about. And so we've seen the roof go on and we've seen the parking lot done and we have lots of really exciting visual things that are going to happen in our church. A kitchen is, and a lot of you are going to, oh yeah, well we heard this before. The kitchen's going to be done. Yeah, well maybe in time for my funeral in 25 years. No, the kitchen's going to be done. All right? All right? It's going to be done. I know it's going to be done. And what we'll do is there's one day coming, and it's not very long, when we're going to invite all the guys that will like to wreck things, okay? And I know you'll want to do that. We'll feed you and allow you to wreck all the kitchen. Just strip it right out. Everything's going. And so that'll be, we'll give you the notice, and you'll come to the gate, and then you just go in there with a hammer and smash things, and it's going to be fun. And then we're going to put new stuff in. So we're already working on that. So there's repairs and upkeep, and we got plans. We have a building committee in plan because we need to change some buildings here. We need to add a larger daycare center. We have 200 kids that come to our daycare or thereabouts. We have a waiting list as well. So we have the second largest, I understand, daycare in the Lower Mainland, aside from UBC. But we have something the UBC doesn't have. We have the opportunity to preach the gospel and share Jesus. And that is significant. That is a powerful ministry. And we have great leadership upstairs in the daycare. And we are seeing amazing things happen, a team working together. And it's going to be better than you can imagine. So it's going to be big. And then we need a place for seniors to live. Because I'm getting there. It's very selfish. I already have my plan. I know where I want mine. No, I believe that we have something that we need to give to our community. And that is a physical thing that we can offer, that we could offer something where we could have seniors living here on the property. We have 4.5 acres. in the geographical center of Richmond. Go figure. That's pretty amazing. That was vision. That was insight. We need to go with that. And so we're going to have new construction. We have a building committee team that's going to meet after this week of prayer. And the missions committee and the board, or the missions committee and the building committee will start their meetings with an hour of prayer. Before we talk, because everybody has ideas, we want to have his idea. And money follows vision. If God's called it, he supports it and resources it. So I don't know how he does that. I don't lose sleep over that. And I let other people lose sleep over that. Because I believe that God will look after that. He has shown me over and over in all my ministry that it's possible for him to do that. So, the vision must always answer the why question. Why are we here at 9300 Westminster Highway in Richmond? Why are we here? And it's summed up. Mark wrote it for us a long time ago. This is our statement of vision and mission. In Mark 16, it says, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." That's it. And I was just reading in my devotions this morning, and I also read along in another book, and Brian Houston from Australia, Hillsong, he said it's a co-mission. That, I love it. Commission, we always kind of run it together, but it's a co-mission. That's what we're on, a co-mission. And he started out with 30 people in a warehouse, and God just showed him. He showed him in a vision what was going to happen, and he went with it. And when he said the naysayers came, he just went with his vision because he knew God told him. You got to believe that God tells you something and he'll fulfill it. But you better make sure it's him that told you. That's the bottom line. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. Oh, man. I'm not a sign chaser, but I want to see him just pour out of everyday life. I want to see him pour out of everyday life. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll pick up snakes with their hands. They will drink any deadly poison and will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick, and the people will get well. Isn't that amazing? That's what he has for us.